D1, number 18A.
I think we have just to be very clear about the term individualized and individuality, that we don't mean that if God is individualized, that then it is only a part of God. It's always the whole of God. You see, God, Mrs. Eddy says, God is infinite. God is individual. He himself is individual. And man is his individualized idea. God is individual mind, capitalized mind. So God is individualized, but it's always the whole of mind. This one mind and his individuality, in the singular, comprise the elements of all forms and individualities, in the plural, and prophesy the structure and nature of Christ, the ideal man. Therefore, we mustn't ever think anymore of mind being individualized, that this does exclude any aspect of mind. It's always the whole of mind that is indicated. Just go out from the seventh day, you see, where we see it's the divine one and the unfathomable mind is expressed. The unfathomable. It's not expressed in some way. It's in its whole way. So the whole always expresses itself as a whole. Always individualized. But that individualization is the whole. Now, if we see that in regard to what we have been considering about man, we can see, all right, then metaphysically, man is the idea of mind. Therefore, the idea of power and of law and of perception and intelligence and wisdom and enlightenment and so on. From science, man is mind idea. Man is spirit idea. See, right linked with the synonymous term, with the whole. It's man is not mind, because it's individualized, but it's not just an isolated idea. Therefore, we could say man is mind idea, man is spirit idea, man is soul idea, man is principle idea, life idea, truth idea, love idea. Then we get nearer and nearer to that point, because after all, Mrs. Eddy defines idea as an image in mind, not as something which mind looks at. It's not an image at which mind looks, as if it were exterior to mind. It's in mind. And if man is the idea of mind, then man is in mind. And so it is mind, self-existent, self-expressed, and we get clearer and clearer to the concept of the seventh day. Mrs. Eddy says quite clearly, man is spiritual. He is not spirit. Man is spiritual. He is not spirit because it's man is spirit idea, but that's true about the sixth day of creation. When we come to the seventh day of creation, we are not considering man, and then we see I is spirit. Then the I is not spiritual. Then I is spirit. And then we have made the last mutation from the sixth to the seventh, where we have left behind that constant consideration, what is man, how to identify myself with man. Then I have put the seventh day foremost in consciousness, the I, the divine one. And that I is not spiritual. That I is spirit. And in that way, we find the way to the oneness of being. I come back to the sentence from which we went out in the textbook, that principle and its idea is one, and this one is God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient being, comma. And then she goes on, and his reflection is man and the universe, and his reflection is man and the universe. Reflection cannot stand by itself. Let's that have clear. Reflection cannot stand by itself, can never be separated from its principle. So let's not limit us to reflection. The us is more than reflection. If man would be just reflection, and that if that would be the climax of spiritual consciousness, then we would have separation. And we would consider man just as reflection. But the reflection comes only about through its original. Mrs. Eddy makes at the beginning of the chapter on spiritualism this important statement, man is never God, but spiritual man reflects God. Sixth day. And he goes to the seventh. In this scientific reflection, he doesn't leave now reflection separate. In this scientific reflection, the ego and the father are inseparable. See, she goes from man to ego. Just as before, I went from man to the I or ego. As I've shown that man is spiritual but not spirit, but that is not the climax of consciousness, that today we have to integrate everything into the divine one, seventh day, and there we have not the term man, but ego, or the I. Are we more interested in man than in the I? We have seen being is consciousness. We didn't see that man is being, and being is man. Consciousness is being, and being is consciousness. So that consciousness is another expression for the I, or the I consciousness, the I awareness, the I knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God. That ego, that I, is spirit. Not spiritual. Mrs. Eddy says that there is but one ego. But one ego. And that this ego is infinite individuality. Infinite individuality. And if we look at the definition of the I or ego in the glossary, we see this. He defines it as divine principle, spirit, soul, incorporeal, unerring, immortal, and eternal mind. So So first, she defines I or ego with synonymous terms, not with ideas. Now the I is principle. Now the I is soul, spirit, mind. Then she has a second paragraph. It goes on and says, there is but one I or us. Us capitalized. But one divine principle or mind governing all existence. The only us, the true us or I, is the divine principle. And then she takes in men. Men and women unchanged forever in their individual characters. See, principle and idea, principle and man is one, but this one is God, the I. The I includes the I God and the I man. Or what it says, the ego God and the ego man. That's the one ego. So at this point, principle and man join into the one consciousness of the I. The I God and the I man. The ego God and the ego man. But, she says, there is but one I or ego. And all the objects of God reflect one mind. That's the end of that quotation. So we can see that we have first, perhaps, in the development of human consciousness to see that we are not egoistic, but also that we are not ego-less, but that we have one ego, the true ego, the divine ego, so that we are free from the personal ego, but have an ego, an I consciousness, an I awareness. When one considers this, then one begins to understand why Mrs. Eddy, in her first edition of Science and Health, could write renderings which she would never use again in the later editions. She could, right at the beginning, see this one I or ego. But she didn't know at that time quite well how to make it clear so that it cannot be misunderstood. In that first edition of Science and Health are quotation like this. Jesus regarded himself principle instead of person. Hear his word, I am the way, the truth, and life. In the last edition she wouldn't write anymore that Jesus regarded himself principle. But she meant the right thing. It could be misunderstood, as it is written here, that Jesus was principle. But really, he had that sense that I and the Father are one, and that I and the Father are one is the one ego. That is where she touched the revelation of divine science and showed it from the platform of divine science in the first edition. She says, we are soul, spirit, and not matter. She wouldn't say that anymore today. I didn't have time enough to go and read again through that whole first edition. It's quite a job. But it looks like that she would never say man is soul spirit, but that she says we are soul spirit. Because the we for her was already there is but one I or us. That we was no more a personal we. So Guanyu is making it quite clear that man is spiritual, but not spirit. The we, the true we, a capitalized we, the I, the ego, the us, is spirit, is principle, is soul, spirit, mind, as she puts it. She never says life, truth, and love. She only combines it with the creative aspect of principle, with mind, spirit, soul, up to principle. When she speaks about the I or ego, she never goes further to life, truth, and love. Because that is being. Being is life, truth, and love. We touch there a higher, the eighth tone. And so she says, when we are spirit, in the first edition, when we are spirit, we shall have gained the high import of the scriptures, I and the Father are one. And these are just a few quotations out of many which show that she had touched right at the beginning that which now we are beginning to realize, namely, not that man is spirit, but that the I is spirit. And that is the thing with which we have to identify ourselves when we come to the seventh day of creation. Then we don't identify ourselves so much with man, but with the I. So for her, there is but one ego, namely the I am. She defines the I am as God, incorporeal and eternal mind, divine principle, the only ego. Now the I am. Not only the I is ego, also the I am is ego, showing that the I is not just the self-existent, static being, but that it is a movement of the I, that the I is always what it is, that it is an I am. And it is interesting to see that great revelation which Moses had of Jehovah, giving a new name of I am, that I am, is rendered in various new translations today quite different. It is said that the verb am cannot only mean am, but also the future tense, so that they feel that what was revealed to Moses was just this sense that God is not only the I as this eternal, unchangeable, self-existent being, but as the eternal movement and operation of that I. And they translate it in various ways as, I am that which I am going to prove as what I am. It is the I that is evidenced in all that I am, or that I shall be. And it is interesting to see that from that moment on in the Bible, those big wonders begin to happen. The Moses going down to Egypt and having the plagues and the signs and wonders and the Red Sea and the crossing and the going through the wilderness and all the victories over the enemies and so on and so on and so on, because he began to see that the I is not just the I, but an I that is individualized constantly as the I'm that, as the I that is ever going to be what he is. ever going, what they say, to prove and to evidence as what he is. So the I am that I am is the I am that is going to prove always what the I am is. And that gives us that terrific sense, really, that nothing is going on but God and his infinite operation. So, this I want to show as a further introduction into the chart, just to give a feel that that chart is not just another text. Just as we have hundreds of books, and now we have a 101st book, but that chart is asking for a complete mutation of consciousness. To take the level of the synonymous terms, the I. Now, let's go to the chart. Last time, we were considering the chart from the top to the bottom, going through the plane of signs, then divine signs, then absolute Christian signs, then Christian signs. Now, that chart can also be viewed from the lower level to the top level, which we may call the ascending way, whereas if we look from it from the top to the bottom, it's the descending way. And on this sense and meaning and purpose and necessity of seeing the chart in the ascending way and descending way, I want to spend a few minutes. The ascending way, Mr. Dawley called the way of understanding. The descending way, from science down to Christian science, is the way of demonstration. So, when consciousness is engaged in ascending from Christian science up to the level of science, it is a sense of enlarging our understanding. Enlarging and enlarging and enlarging our understanding and insight into being. Whereas the descending way is showing the method and power of demonstration until it touches the lowest level of human thought. So let's be clear that science, or the chart, includes both, and not only one. This is an important point, as I'm going to show, that consciousness must ascend and descend, and not only one or the other. The ascending way is the way out of ignorance, out of darkness, into full light, into the fullest light, into that point where on the highest level of science everything becomes transparent to consciousness, where there is no more mist, no more clouds, no more ignorance, no more a problem which is enigmatical or anything like that. The whole thing becomes transparent. The whole nature of God is clear and transparent. It is as if we would be in a valley full of mist and clouds, and we would go up the mountain, and with every stage we go up, the light becomes clearer, the clouds go away, the mist becomes thinner, until suddenly we come into the full light. And we stand in the full light. But in the descending way, we are the light. Then, once we have risen to understanding, we are not only seeing the light, then we are the light. Then in thy light shall I see the light. Then we are the light. Just as it was said of John the Baptist that he was preparing the way, he came to witness for the light, but Jesus was the true light. We have that so often when we think also in terms of metaphysics and science. In metaphysics, it is that we clear and clear our window pane until there is no more anything which can obstruct the passing of the light. But science is not the window pane. Science is the light that shines through the window pane. And the light knows no darkness. So in the descending way, we always stay in the light, and before that light, the mist disappears. In the ascending way, we can see how that mist disappears. Namely, if we take the question of evil, we see that if we start on the lowest plane of Christian Science, that there consciousness is still full of the question, what is evil, what is matter, what is error, sin, sickness and death, then consciousness is still in that plane of thinking in a dualistic sense, in a sense of opposites, namely in the sense of what is mind, spirit, soul, and what is the opposite of mind, spirit, soul. It still has that duality within itself. It shows that those, that ideas and illusions don't mingle, but it separates them. But then, when we rise higher to the plane of absolute Christian Science, then the whole problem of evil is looked at differently. Then we are no more looking at spirit and matter as opposites, but then Mrs. Eddy shows that spirit and matter are states and stages of consciousness. And the question of duality begins to wither away. And we begin to see that there is only one nature and no dual nature, that all there is understanding, and therefore the question of evil, disease, and matter and so on is just a question of misinterpretation of the one right interpretation. That the material universe is not the opposite of the spiritual universe, but that the material universe is the spiritual universe, but misinterpreted. And so in the plane of absolute Christian Science, we pierce through that mist of duality much more, until then on the plane of divine science, we begin to exclude matter and see that there is only one consciousness, one interpretation, one understanding, that there is no misinterpretation, misunderstanding in that one consciousness.